Hebrew, in which, of course, the scriptures were originally written. It encompasses all of these things. First of all, the Bible describes sin as a transgression. A transgression is overstepping divine boundaries. God draws some lines, and they're righteous lines, and to step out of that territory into a territory that He did not decide for us, that's a transgression. Then the Bible uses the word iniquity. Iniquity means lawlessness or spiritual anarchy or rebellion, an act that is inherently wrong. And then the Bible talks about an error. That's a word for sin. That is, it's a departure from what is right. Just departing from what is right. And then it uses a word that means missing the mark. Like somebody that's aiming for a target and they miss the mark. So then we're talking about when we miss the divine standard. God sets standards in our lives. I know that the church teaches some standards, but God has some divine standards. God expects things out of you and me, and He has every right to do so because we are His creation and we are His children, and God knows what He put into each and every one of us, and He expects certain things out of us. And so to miss God's standard is a sin. And then to trespass, that is to place self-will above God's will, that is trespassing. Unbelief is a sin. Is not unbelief an insult to God? When God says, this is right, and we say, that is not right. Unbelief is a sin. Sin is actually in three degrees. There is an act of sin. Christians do not sin habitually. See, Christians may commit an act of sin and then repent and be restored. But to persist in sin, then it becomes a state of being. Some people live in sin. They make it their practice. It's something they do on a daily basis. It just becomes a lifestyle for them. And sin is also a nature. That's the reason that anybody sins. Every human being has a sin nature. One of the greatest proofs to me of the reality of this Holy Ghost experience is how it transforms human nature. I'm drawing a parallel. I'm not trying to infer anything here today. But, you know, certain animals have natures. A pig has a nature. And pigs are dirty by nature. You ever worked with one? When I was in 4-H, my project was a pig. I had a Duroc, a red Duroc pig. And I mean, when it was time to show that little buddy, I scrubbed him. I mean, and I took, back in those days, we used hair oil. Anybody remember hair oil? Amen. And we took brilliantine, you know, and I poured it all over him. And man, I rubbed it in that shiny little coat. And man, he was red and he was pretty. Man, he was shining like a new penny. And then I had him looking good. But you know what he did whenever he got, as soon as I let go of him? He headed for the mud. And he dove in snout first. And he slung mud and dirt and filth and slop every direction. And he squealed with delight. He was in hog heaven, because that's what pigs do. I wanted him clean. I wanted him shiny. But that's not pig nature. Amen. His nature is a lower nature. That's what he likes. When I was a sinner, I loved sin. Amen. And if you were a sinner, you liked sinning, didn't you? You did. It's what you chose to do. Given a choice, you chose to do that. You couldn't wait for Friday night to roll around. Amen. So you could start the party and go all week long doing things that you knew were not right to do, but you did it anyway because that was your nature. But one day, the Holy Ghost got a hold of you and conviction brought you to the knowledge of the Lord and then to your knees in repentance before God. And God filled you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and it changed your nature. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost does. It changes us. And suddenly you didn't want to do the things you used to do. Amen. The Bible said old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's the Holy Ghost nature. So sin is state of being. It's a nature that God miraculously changes. Let me talk a minute about sin's origin. Where did it come from? In the Scripture, the Bible explains that God created a certain angel. Ezekiel 38:14-15 calls him the anointed cherub that covereth. And he said, I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God, and hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Suddenly, sin came into the nature of this anointed being. Isaiah 14 takes it up and explains it further. Isaiah 14:12-15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So sin found its way through pride into the heart of one of God's perfect and one of God's chosen. And as far as we know, this was the origin of sin. And then it found its way to the earth. Romans 5:19 said, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. But sin came into the world because of one man, did it not? Amen. Yes, it did. Sin made its way here. The Bible said, Romans 5:12, therefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10-12, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So sin is a universal problem. Amen. Sin is not something that has to be taught. We know that. Have you ever been around children? Children are liars by nature. Oh yeah, I know they're sweet. Don't look at me like that. I know how sweet they are. But the little boogers will lie to you. Did you do that? Oh, no. What'd you do it with? Scissors. They'll lie by nature. Amen. They'll bite. They'll scratch. They'll claw. They'll steal. Oh, I'm talking about yours. They will. They'll do it. Every last one of them. Because they got a sin nature. It's a universal problem. You don't have to teach them how to do any of that. They do it by nature. You don't want them to do it, you have to teach them not to do it. You want them to tell the truth, you got to teach them to tell the truth. You want to teach them not to tell them how to get along, you got to teach them how to get along. You want to get selfishness out of them, you got to teach them to deny themselves. It's a universal problem. Sin is in everyone. There's not a person living, drawing breath today that doesn't have a sin problem. Amen. And so sin is universal. Sin comes with a penalty. The Bible said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible said, sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. The Bible said, the wages of sin is death. So sin comes with a penalty today. Yes, it did. Before there was no, when there was no sin, there was no death. When sin came into the world, death came into the world. Sin brings death and decay. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there's a cure. Hey, let me tell you the good news today. I said there's a cure for sin. Sin is fatal. It bit every one of us, and all of us are going to die because we have been bitten by sin. But thank God there's an antidote. Thank God there's a cure. We read about it in the scripture as we began. Amen. That we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. You know what an advocate is? An advocate is a lawyer. We got somebody that'll stand before the throne of God, the judge, and argue our case for us. We have somebody today that who is righteous. Amen. I don't know about lawyers, how many lawyers are righteous, but we got one that is. I know that. I'm sure there are some. I'm sure there are many. I heard a story about the fence between heaven and hell. And people kept breaking the fence and getting through. And so Satan and Peter had a discussion. And Peter said, if you don't stop that, we're going to sue you. And the devil laughed and said, where are you going to get a lawyer? Well, that's just a little side note there. Just, amen. I'm glad somebody got it. We'll go ahead, get back to business here. Amen. And so we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Everybody say he's righteous. Amen. He's on my side. Hallelujah. He's going to do what's right. Don't you ask him to do wrong. He won't do it. Don't ask him to lie for you. He's not going to do it. Amen. If you want to be him to say good and faithful, you got to be good and you got to be faithful. You want him to say you're righteous, you got to be right. You want him to say you're holy, you got to be holy. Amen. He's not going to say something wrong because he's the righteous. The Bible said that he is a mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. A mediator is just somebody that stands in the middle and brings two opposing parties to an agreement. Amen. He's the one that stands between God and us. And he somehow, by his blood and by his righteousness and by his purity, he brings us together as one. He's the mediator. Amen. He's God in flesh, reconciling the world unto himself. Amen. That's who he is. He's a mediator. He's, the Bible said he's the propitiation. Everybody knows what that is, but I'll explain it anyway. It is one who pacifies an injured party. Amen. If after church today, somebody here has a new car and somebody backs into it and smashes in the side and waves as they pass by, say, "Bless you, brother, isn't grace wonderful?" At that moment, your mind is not on grace. Your mind is on justice. Amen. Somebody paying for what's been done. Amen. Somebody that is a propitiator is somebody that will make peace, make payment, make wrong things right. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to make the wrong things right. He came to take us and be able to get rid of our past and lead us into a right and glorious relationship with him for the future. So he is the propitiator of our sins. He provides forgiveness. Amen. And he disinfects us to prevent further injury. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's all what he came to do. Jesus Christ is the cure for sins today. You want to know what to do with your sin? Give it to Jesus. Amen. Don't hang on to it. Don't take it with you into eternity. Get rid of it today. Give it up to God. Amen. And then, what does God do with my sins? After I give my sins to him, what does he do about it? Amen. Well, the Bible gives us some good indication. First of all, he gave us an invitation. Isaiah 1 and 18, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So the Lord said, come. Everybody say, come. Let us reason together. God is calling us to a reasoning. Amen. And he tells us, your sins, though they be like crimson, he said they can be white as snow. Amen. He said your sins, amen, though they be scarlet, he said they can be made like the wool. So God is calling us to a reasoning. Something that only he can do. I don't know if you've ever tried to take the red out of something that got red in it. But it's hard to do. Have you ever washed a red garment with white garments? Did you notice that the white garment doesn't get on the red garment? I've never washed a load of clothes and everything turned out white. But I have washed a red garment with a white garment, and it was the red that affected the white, not the opposite. But God said, I can reverse that. He said, I can take the red out of something that's supposed to be white, something that's supposed to be clean, something that's supposed to be like snow, something that's supposed to be like wool. He said, I can take, no matter how deep it is, I can take that out. Only God can take sins that are that deeply ingrained, right down to the very the integral part of the fabric. God said, but I can go in and I can take it all out. Only God could do something as profound as that. But he said, I can do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God he can take away sins. Amen. Isaiah 44 verse 22, he said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. The Lord said, I blotted it out. First time I ever flew in an airplane from McAllen, Texas, to Salt Lake City, Utah. It was raining. It was thundering. It was lightning. And I thought, man, this is going to be a horrible way to ride all the way to Salt Lake City. I knew nothing about airplanes. I'd never ridden on a big one. But I got on that old jet plane, and it took off. And it nosed its way up in the air in a little while. We were up in the clouds. And it wasn't but just a very short time until we passed through and broke through on the other side. And it was just as beautiful and blue and clear above all of that. And you could look down and see the clouds like pillows and the lightnings and all of that. And you could just see it all below you. But everything between us and the rest of the heavens was perfectly clear. God said, He said, I can blot your sins out like clouds. Amen. I can just move the clouds away. And He does that, doesn't He? He just clears the clouds out of the way. He blots them out. Moves them out of the way. He dries them all up. Amen. And God said, I can do that to your sins. I can just remove them. I can make them as if they never existed. We have said before that whenever David said, blot out my transgressions, he was referring to of the time when they used an ink that had no acid. It was an ink that didn't burn into the paper like our ink does today. It's hard to move ink now, isn't it? You ever tried to erase ink? Well, that's why they come up with the liquid paper. So you can kind of blot it out, but you still can't, can you? You can still see what's there. Or at least that there was a mistake. You ever use that stuff? When I used to type, I used a lot of it. I bought it by the gallon. No, I really didn't. I didn't type that much. But you know what? I was so happy that somebody invented a computer. Because on the computer, they got this thing that says, delete. I discovered that real fast. And it doesn't matter how many mistakes you make. You just do the whole thing all over if you want to. Amen. You can take out a word. You can take out a letter. You can take out a paragraph. You can delete the whole thing sometimes, whether you want to or not. You know, it used to be the dog ate my homework. Now it's the computer ate my homework. It just disappears and goes wherever it goes in computer land. Amen. But thank God for delete. That there's a way that you can just get rid of all of your mistakes. And the Bible said, the Lord said, I will blot them out. I'll reach over and I'll take the blotter and I'll just wipe it out as if it never existed. Now it'll exist in your head. It'll exist in your life. You'll remember it, but God will not. You may be suffering some consequences. Amen. But the sin, as far as God the judge is concerned, it's gone. It's gone. Thank God that He blots out our sins. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, verse 8 through verse 13. He said, the Lord is merciful. Everybody say merciful. Gracious. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Amen. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He will not deal with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so hath He removed our transgressions from us. Everybody say east to west. I'm glad He said that. You know, if He would have said north and south, it would have been totally different. If you go north, you'll go until you reach the curvature of the earth, and then you'll go south. And you'll come around, and when you reach the curvature of the earth again, you'll start back up north. But if you start east, you'll always be going east. No matter how many times you circle the earth, you'll always be going east unless you go west. And then you'll always be going west. In other words, he said, if it were north and south, you'd meet your sin somewhere again. But he said, if I removed it like the east from the west, so you'll never see it, as long as you keep going the same direction, as long as you keep going right, you'll never ever see your sin again. Hallelujah. That's how God removed them. He said, you're not ever going to see them again if you'll just keep going right. That's what God does with our sins. Amen. And then Micah 7 and 19, this beautiful verse. He said, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Amen. He cast. You know how deep the sea is? The deepest place, what is the Mariana Trench? The earth is 7 miles deep. That's deep. Seven miles. Amen. You drop those old stinky sins and it goes down 7 miles. You're not ever going to see them again. Amen. My favorite saying about the sin and the sea of forgetfulness, as we call it. Amen. The Bible, or a man said that God drops our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. And then he nails up a sign that says, no fishing. Amen. Don't go fishing. Anybody ever gone fishing in the sea of forgetfulness and drug up something out of there? The devil, he doesn't read very well. He fishes in there all the time. And you ever been in a service and things get going pretty good and you're just getting ready to start worshiping and he digs up something out of the old sea of forgetfulness and comes over and drops it right beside you like an old dead stinking fish. And he said, you remember that? What makes you think you can worship God? What gives you the right to be here? Remember that? I'll tell you what you do about that. You just jump right up on your feet and you say, I remember that. God forgave that. He cast it into a sea of forgetfulness. And you can remember it if you want to. But I'm going to forget it because God did. And then you go right ahead and shout and rejoice because he removed your sin from you and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. God doesn't remember sins that we repent of anymore. I remember Brother J.T. Pugh preaching one time, and he told a story about how he was having a hard time getting over some things that he'd done. And he would be condemned and he'd be feeling down and he'd be feeling guilty and he couldn't worship God. And so he come to the Lord and the Lord said, JT, what is wrong with you? And he said, oh Lord, he said, you remember what I did. And the Lord said, what did you do? And he told him, and the Lord said, you must have repented about that. He said, because I don't remember that ever happening to you. Praise God. So what I'm saying to you today is, when you tell God to forget something, he forgets it if you repent and turn away and turn and go right. Amen. Don't let your past hold you bound and captive. God wants you to get over it. God wants you to get past it. God wants you to leave all that behind you and just start walking east. Hallelujah. Amen. And just keep going. And the further you walk, the further that old garbage gets behind you until after a while, you hardly remember it anymore. Praise God. When you first start walking with God, people, you know, they'll come up and they'll remind you. But you live for God long enough and their memory will wear out too. And if you live long enough, they'll die and not be here anyway. Amen. Praise God. You just keep on walking right. Keep doing right. Keep living for God. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to forget your sins. Amen. And let me say to the church, don't you go fishing in somebody's sea either. If you go and you dig up something out of somebody's past and drag it out and dump it on them, you're doing the devil's work. Did you hear me? I said, you're doing the devil's work. God has nothing to do with that. Amen. And you're not righteous, you're self-righteous. And the Bible said your self-righteousness, thank you, sir, is filthy rags in the sight of God. So don't you be digging stuff up on somebody. God left it alone, you leave it alone. Amen. If you can't get over it, go pray through until you can get over it. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we could do a little digging in your sea. Oh, yeah. We've all got one, you know. God is merciful. God deals with our sins and puts them in the past. And He wants us to get on with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Don't you want to be good too? I said, don't you want to be good too? Let's be like Him. Let's learn to forget about sin. Praise the Lord. Let's don't hang anything over anybody's head. Let's just learn to forget about it. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, you know what so-and-so did? No. Don't know, don't want to know. Don't care. Amen. They repented, they got over it, and they went on with God. That's what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. Here, I'm going to hush here in just a minute. Amen. I'm almost through. Praise the Lord. Amen. Going back again to John, I'm going to close with this. John chapter 1, verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Woo! We have fellowship. The Bible said, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. Now, He said, if you walk in the light, amen. And if you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk in the light, because God is light. In Him is no darkness, no shadow of turning. If you're going to walk with God, you're going to walk in the light. Amen. You're going to walk in the right, in the light, you're going to walk in the right. Walk in righteousness. So you're walking with God. Amen. The Bible said you're having fellowship with God. Fellowship with God and with one another. Praise the Lord. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. So we've got fellowship with God. Isn't that the greatest fellowship there is in the world? Where there's peace and there's joy and there's righteousness, and there is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. To them that are in Jesus Christ. Amen. We've made our peace with God. We got everything right between us and God. Amen. And the Bible said in the blood of Jesus Christ, notice that word, cleanseth. The Greek verb tense of that word is an ongoing action. It means that the blood of Jesus Christ is constantly cleansing us. It didn't just happen one time in the past, but it's ongoing. Hallelujah. Amen. It's ongoing. Praise the Lord. That song Amanda wrote that said it's raining. Well, it's in the Lord. You see, it's always cleansing. It's always raining in the Lord. He's always cleansing us. He's always making, every time you take a step, He's cleansing you. Amen. Don't you need cleansing today? I still got some attitudes that need to be cleansed. Amen. I still got some thoughts that need to be cleansed. I still got some things I'm dealing with in my life, and I need cleansing. But as long as I'm in fellowship and I'm walking with Jesus Christ, He is constantly, every day, every moment of every day, He's cleansing me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's how God deals with sin. He cleanses it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? That's what God does with our sins. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Anybody want fellowship with Jesus Christ today? He's the greatest friend that you'll ever know. The Bible said He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. Everybody else walks out, Jesus walks in. Amen. He said, if my mom and my father forsake me, he said, the Lord will take me up. He's not going to leave me there. He'll not leave me there. People can get so vile, it's almost beyond belief. People can say things and do things that are almost beyond belief. But they're not beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. Amen. They're not beyond the reach of God's forgiveness. He can still forgive. Lord, help me not to limit your mercy. Help me to remember how merciful you've been to me. Sometimes it's not easy to. We can easily lose our perspective as Christians. And we can forget how merciful God's been to us. And we can almost pray wrath down on somebody else because of something they've done. And we see how horrible it is not remembering that what He did for me, what He did for you. God's mercy is more extreme than you can imagine. Yes, it is. Amen. His mercy is more extreme than we can imagine. God wants to save people. Everybody say, God wants to save people. Amen. He don't want to keep score. He don't want to measure how many times people fail. He wants to save people. He doesn't want to take a measuring stick and see how far down they are. He just wants to reach down and get them out. He just wants to save people. Amen. I could tell you stories today that would almost make you angry that God would save somebody and forgive somebody of the things they did. You'd think that's not right. Oh yeah, that's right. Because God wants to save people. Amen. I've known people to get upset with God because He forgave people. Isn't that funny? That people that themselves were forgiven get mad at God because He forgave somebody else. But that's God. He wants to deal with sin today. He wants to get rid of it. And want to hold it against you. What a great God we serve. What a great God we serve. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we take a few moments here today and respond to this word, shall we? Jesus, there is a cleansing in the blood that's beyond anything my mind can conceive. But not beyond what my faith can believe. I believe you today. And oh, I stand in need of mercy. I thank you for the grace of God and the mercies of the Lord. You said that your mercy is everlasting. And I thank you for that. We humans are prone to keeping score, writing down our grievances, carving them as in stone. But you are lenient. And the Bible said you're merciful and you're gracious. And you want to forgive. Forgiveness is your very nature. You want to forgive. Given the option and the opportunity, you will always forgive. You will always forgive. If I can just meet the requirement of repentance, and that's your gift, you'll always forgive. If I'll just repent, say I'm sorry, walk away from sin, you'll walk with me and you'll forgive. You'll forget. You'll leave it in some deep sea. Now thank you today, God, for your mercies and your goodness and your graciousness and your kindness. I'm not going to let sins hold me back. I'm not going to look to the past. I'm going to look to the future. I'm not going to look down. I'm going to look up. Amen. I need you today, Jesus, to help me, to lead me, to guide me all the way home.
Amen. Thank you
for dealing graciously and with great mercy concerning my sins.
For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it falls to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the gives me strength from day.